Devim Sarasatim Vyasam,
Devim Sarasatim Vyasam,
Tato Jaya Mudirayat,
Tato Jaya Mudirayat,
Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu,
Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu,
Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya,
Bhagavati Uttama Shloke,
Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. This morning we're reading from the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 29, the explanation of devotional service. Is that it? Text number 33. This is a description by Kapila Muni. Kapila Deva. Tasman
Mayi
Arpita Shesha
Kriyartatma
Nirantaraha
Mayi
Arpitatmanaha Pungso
Mayi
Sanyasta
Karmanaha
Na Pashyami
Param
Bhutam
Akartuhu
Samadarshanat
Tasman Mayarpita
Shesha Kriyartatma
Nirantara
Mayarpitatmana
Pungso
Mai Sanyasta Karmanaha
Na Pashyami Param
Bhutam
Akartu Samadarshanat
Tasmat Mayarpita
Shesha
Kriyartatma
Nirantaraha
Mayarpitatmana
Pungso
Mai Sanyasta Karmanaha
Na Pashyami
Param Bhutam Akartu Samadarshanat. This was Arjuna's difficulty, which we were discussing last night. Who remembers what that was? Okay. Huh? No? Yes.
Go ahead.
Yes. Yeah. He was thinking, this will make me unhappy, rather than thinking of Krishna's interest, what will make Krishna happy, what will make Krishna unhappy. This is a theme that I grew up with in my school. Every day we chanted the Lord's Prayer. Do you do that in Brazil, the Lord's Prayer? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Oh, it's funny, in Canada, every school. In England also, huh? Not now, but, oh, that's it. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching at war. But this is, I don't know where the Lord's Prayer is from, but Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, in other words, huh? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Same thing, that the devotee's interest and the Lord's interest are one. So, Kapiladev, who is none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shakti of Asia, incarnation of Krishna, and he is saying that he does not find anybody greater than the person who makes the Lord's will his will. Now, one thing that is confusing in this material world is that people often say one thing and do a different thing. So many people are advising us what is the right path of action, but when we see their lives, we find that they themselves cheat and act differently. Do as I say, not as I do. We grew up with this. Our parents told us to act in a very responsible and mode of goodness way, a very moral way. They told us not to take drugs. They told us not to drink alcohol. They told us not to have sex till we married. But we saw in their lives that they were cheating in so many ways. Husband and wife cheating on each other, taking illegal drugs, doing so many things. So we rejected them and formed our own culture, known as the counterculture or the hippie culture. But because we had no knowledge of something superior, we became degraded. So a devotee has to act with fidelity towards the Lord. In this sentence, it is noticeable that when it says, "He who has no interest outside of mine," the word mine has a capital M. So we have to accept that there is someone who knows what is best for us, who is superior to us, and who can guide us. And therefore, we have to be prepared to dedicate all of our activities towards such a person. The example Prabhupada gives of Lord Chaitanya is very interesting, because Lord Chaitanya was Krishna himself, but he acted as a devotee of Krishna. Now, Krishna came as Swayam Rupa, Sri Krishna, and he taught us various things. For example, we know that we have to accept a spiritual master, and Krishna accepted a spiritual master, although he didn't pretend that he was not God. He manifested so many wonderful activities that only God could do. Sometimes we see that, for example, in the life of Lord Jesus Christ, we see that a powerful, let's say an empowered preacher, will do some miraculous things and attract followers. But Lord Jesus also found out very early on in his preaching that people became attracted mainly to the miracles and not to the teachings. So in his Madhya Leela, he stopped doing miracles. And Lord Chaitanya actually didn't perform any miracles for the general public at all. He simply engaged in Sankirtan and distributed prasadam. There are examples of his doing things. For example, at Rath Yatra, he expanded himself into 7 different forms and danced in each Sankirtan party. But only his intimate devotees could see that. But Lord Chaitanya stressed on the importance of recognizing Krishna and following Krishna's orders. The Bhagavad Gita is kind of ABC, the very beginning of spiritual teaching. But Lord Chaitanya preached mostly from the Srimad Bhagavatam. And of course he was the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Whatever he said is, we take it as scripture. Prabhupada here comments on the verse Samadarshanat, that it means one who has no separate interest from Krishna. I remember once in India, this was in 1972, in a town called Indore, which is in central India, Prabhupada met a life member and was talking to him. Indore, I-N-D-O-R-E. Central India. So they were having a nice discussion for about half an hour on philosophy. They were mainly talking about the verse where Lord Krishna says, what is that? Pandita Samadarshina, that a learned sage has Samadarshina. He sees equally all living beings, sees the soul. How does anybody knows that verse? How does it go? Vidya Vinaya Sampane. Brahmane Gavi Hastini Shunichaiva Svapakecha Pandita Samadarshan. A very famous verse. So then the life member was getting up to leave, and he turned back to Prabhupada and he said, Swamiji, are you God? Indore is in the center of what we call, it's in the center of a Hindu area. Although 80% of India or more, meaning about 800 to 900 million people, are Hindus in general. But in the Indore area, they're very staunchly Hindu. So today, Hinduism is synonymous with Mayavad philosophy. One famous preacher, Vivekananda, who was a disciple of Ramakrishna, coined the phrase jata mat tata pat, as many ways as there are ashrams, as many paths as there are mats. Okay. This Vivekananda coined a phrase. He quoted, jata mat, as many mats, like you have Gaudiya mat. Jata mat tata pat. Pat means paths or ways. So they think that when Krishna says samadarsina, that this means that one has to see that everyone is God, even the poor man is God. Therefore, another phrase coined by Ramakrishna was Daridra Narayan, meaning the poor Narayan. Daridra means poor. And the expression means that you should worship the poor man. And we also know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although he accepted sannyas from Keshava Bharati, who was in a line of Mayavadis, was it Brahmananda Bharati? Brahmananda Bharati. Was it Keshava or Brahmananda? Huh? They're brothers, but who did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu take sannyas from? He didn't take sannyas from both of them. Keshav Bharati, that's what I thought. Yeah. Anyway, they were in a Mayavadi sampradaya. And generally, Mayavadis, when they take sannyas from brahmacharya life, they cut off their shika. Now they have become as good as Narayan. And when they meet one another, they address one another, Om Namo Narayan. And here's a good one for you. You've probably never seen this, but they have a saying, one who knows does not speak, and one who speaks does not know. So the Mayavadi, who is self-realized or highly realized, when he speaks, he giggles a lot because he realizes that he's just talking to himself. And the so-called Maha Rishi, Mahesh Yogi, he's kind of like that. But Madhvacharya has written a beautiful book called, I forget the Sanskrit name, Mala. Anyway, it's 101 arguments against Mayavad philosophy. Now, generally in India, or at least formerly in India, instead of organizing Rock in Rio, they used to organize big debates between philosophers, and people would go and watch the fun. So very often the Madhva scholars, who are brilliant in Sanskrit, would come out victorious. Of course, the Ramanuja scholars are also very powerful, but especially Madhva was dedicated to smashing the Mayavadi illusion. In fact, the Madhvas have a mantra which they chant condemning Mayavadis. And they chant this mantra while passing stool in the morning. So they're very much against Mayavad. Anyway, Madhva wrote in one of those arguments a very sanguine argument he made. If we are all God, if I am you and you are me, and we have no separate existence, then if you have realized this, then I should have also realized it, because I am you and you are me. And actually, Mayavadi philosophy is not much better than a hobby. If everything is one, there's no separate variety or existence, then why don't they just eat money? But that's not practical. So they take their money to the sabji mandi, to the vegetable market, and they buy vegetables. So not a very intelligent conclusion, but unfortunately people are contaminated by it. It's attractive to think that I am God. In fact, it is called the last snare. You know what a snare is? The last snare, or the last trap of Maya. Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about 18 obstacles in the path of pure devotional service. And he's number 18 is that you become so blissful from serving Krishna that you develop a desire to merge with that blissfulness. Therefore, we find Daruka, Krishna's chariot driver, when he was fanning Krishna, he started to exhibit ecstatic symptoms of love. And, okay. So he realized that this was interfering with his devotional service, so he rejected the ecstasy. Now this brings up an important point that is relevant to all of us in our neophyte stages of devotional service. I think it's very relevant, actually, and we should think about this. A neophyte devotee chants Hare Krishna and engages in devotional service because of the good feeling that he gets. And Krishna is so very kind that even though we're not qualified, in the beginning, to encourage us, Krishna floods us with what is sometimes called shadow attachment. There are plenty of occasions when you chant and you just feel very good. You find this in India. People always say, Swamiji, are you getting peace? Because peace of mind is something that everybody wants. But sometimes we don't get peace of mind. We're reading about Arjuna, how he was totally in distress. Because he was patient and he accepted Krishna as his spiritual master, ultimately his problem was resolved. In our days, things don't go right. We don't feel good about chanting. We don't have any taste. Or we don't feel like getting up in the morning. Whereas an advanced devotee thinks that I am Krishna's servant eternally. If there is bliss in serving Krishna, very nice. But if Krishna wants to trample me down with his foot, that's his mercy also. Lord Chaitanya in his Sikshastakam, this was the 8th verse, the last, the crystallization of all the verses came in the last verse, that aslishyava padartham pinastumam adarshanam marmaha ta kurotuva yathatata vidadatu lampato mat prananatas tu sevanava. Even if you handle me roughly by your even if you handle me roughly and are not present before me, you're still my Lord unconditionally. So we reject this idea that I am God. It is just sense gratification, and it is an illusion. Lord Krishna explained this fact to Arjuna right in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita. He says, Natvebaham jatu nasham, natvam ne me janadipa, nachaivana bhavishama sarve vayam ataha param. Both you and I and all these kings existed in the past as individuals. And then he says, sarve vayamataha param. Sarve is a plural form, meaning all of us will exist in the future. So on the one side, he was teaching Arjuna that we won't die, we'll continue to exist. But he was also teaching that we will exist as individuals. There's nothing like merging with God. And Prabhupada talks here about devotional service. He says, devoted, where is it? Oh, in the verse itself it says, one who dedicates all his activities and life without cessation. So we have to have the strong determination, the strong dedication to serve Krishna in all situations, good or bad. The key moment in your devotional life is at the time of death. Bhajan koro, sadhan koro, murti janle hoy. You do your bhajan, you do your sadhana, everything will be tested at the time of death. Ante narayana smritihi. You have to remember Krishna at the last moment. So how to achieve this? Our devotional service should be uninterrupted and unmotivated. Therefore, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated by Sukadeva Goswami, Savai Pungsang Paro Dharmo Yato Bhaktir Adhoksaje, meaning that the highest occupational duty for a man, sabai pungsang paro dharmo, is to engage in devotional service to the Supreme. Krishna is called adhoksaja, meaning he's above the modes of material nature. He's before the creation. Narayana Paro Vyaktat. Krishna existed before anything in the material world was existing. Therefore, he is God. So what is the quality of this bhakti adhoksaje? It's ahoituki apratyatha. It is without any hoituki, without any personal motivation. And what I'm stressing here is apratyatha. It's without any interruption. And only this standard of devotional service will satisfy you perfectly, yayatma supraseedati. There is no use at the time of death to complain that I am not engaged in devotional service because the temple president made me clean the toilets, or or the GBC man was a rascal, or this one did that. That's a reason, but it's not an excuse. Each and every one of you has an individual relationship with Krishna, and it is your responsibility to renovate that relationship and always think of Krishna. How should I always think of Krishna? According to my own whim? No, sir. Shruti, Smriti, Puranadi, Pancharatra, Vidim, Vidhi, Aikantiki, Harer, Bhakti, Utpad, Yaiva Kalpate. Unless you engage in devotional service according to parampara, your so-called devotional service is utpat, or a disturbance to society. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, the 18th chapter, ya idam paramam guyam mad bhakteshu abhidashiti, that one who explains this science of devotional service is very dear to me, one who explains it to the devotees. Actually, 1866 is famous as, you know, the ultimate in Krishna says, sarva dharman puriteja mamekam sharanam braja. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshishami mashuchadam. Practically the final instruction, that you just surrender, give up all your concoction, surrender to me, I'll protect you. That's all. But then in verse 68 and 69, Krishna gets in a special word for the preachers. It's a commercial. Nacha tasman manusheshu kaschin me priya kritamaha. They're very dear to me who preach Bhagavad Gita. So, we try in our own humble way to preach, but we have varying degrees of realization, varying degrees of purity. It's not easy. Of course, on one level, it's easy to preach. Prabhupada used to talk about the daughter of Shyamasundar and Malati. Her name was Saraswati. So, as a little 3-year-old, 4-year-old girl, she was in India. And she used to go around at a program at someone's house or on stage where there were Indians. And she would say, do you know Krishna? Krishna is God. And Prabhupada said, just see, perfect preaching. Even a little girl can be a perfect preacher. But we do know a perfect means of preaching, and that is to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. In my life, I was part of the very first big traveling Sankirtan party out of San Francisco. Bhutatma. Well, Bhutatma wasn't on our party. He came a little later. He was like with Keshava at the temple. Everyone heard of Bhutatma here? No one's heard of Bhutatma. He was one of the original. Actually, there was another boy who first did Krishna book distribution, New York Jew again. His name was Vyasa Tirtha. Before that time, we used to distribute Back to Godhead magazines on the street. And Prabhupada had ordered 40,000 Krishna books from Dai Nippon in Japan, and they were sitting in the warehouse gathering dust. So on the way back home from doing Sankirtan at Powell Street and Market Street, downtown San Francisco, some devotees decided to experiment and try to distribute Krishna book going door to door. So the first person to do it was this boy Vyasa Tirtha, and then the next person was a very famous devotee named Bhutatma. So then we started a bus. We got an old army bus, and we filled it up with devotees, and we went traveling. And our temple president, his name was Keshava Das, and his name was Kelly Smith. And his brother, Karander Das, was the president of Los Angeles Temple. So when Karander heard that Keshava was selling so many Krishna books, he developed a competitive spirit. So he also started book distribution in Los Angeles in a big way. San Francisco was an all-brahmachari temple of about 35, 40 devotees. And Los Angeles was a householder temple with some brahmacharis, but mostly married couples, and they had a big business, Spiritual Sky. So Karander challenged Keshava that he would beat him in giving money to the BBT. So Keshava got all of us, brahmacharis, all inspired, fired up, as we say. We have to beat these householders. So this month, while doing book distribution door to door, we will not spend any money on food. And we will only eat whatever we can get begging door to door while selling books. So we were all young, passionate brahmacharis, and we liked this fighting spirit. So we took it as a challenge, just like in Europe, when two medieval Europe, or not even that long ago, when two men would have a quarrel, they would have a sword fight, and to death usually. And the way they would challenge one another is one would take his glove and throw it down on the ground. And then if the other person accepted the challenge, he would pick it up. And that glove came to be called the gauntlet. I don't know where I got that name. So we took up the gauntlet, and that month we ate peanut butter sandwiches, raw cauliflower, quarts and quarts of milk and yogurt. But we beat Los Angeles by about $50. So we were very happy about that. And later on we learned that every day Keshava and his assistant were back at the bus cooking up a big feast for themselves. That's Keshava. Yeah, it was very hard for Keshava to control his senses. Yes. Yeah. He liked his prasadam. Okay, are there any questions or comments? Yes. Okay. Disturbance means if someone is in a position of authority, but someone who is initiated should follow according to parampara. And there was a time when Srila Prabhupada even talked about taking back people's names and initiation if they weren't following. So I think it's important for all of us as individuals to be very careful and very conscientious about our own devotional service. Srila Prabhupada would speak as an authority very strongly, but his personal example was that he was always very kind and loving, even to his fallen disciples. And he would always encourage them rather than discourage them. Or if he had to tell them something, he would tell them very carefully, tactfully. In fact, he would be very heavy with disciples who were very much attached to him, and he would be very light with disciples who were not ready to accept strong preaching. But in general, based on my humble experience, we should all be very careful about criticizing anyone, because we do not know how strongly fixed we will remain in the face of difficulties. Of course, I am just hanging on to Prabhupada's dhoti with all my strength, and I know that Maya could kick me in the teeth at any moment, and in general, I try to be hard on myself and easy on others, but I am a little bit of an authority, and there is probably one and maybe two or three, but most likely just one person who I have no reservation about criticizing, because he is poisonous, he is a cheater, he is a rascal. I'm not talking about Puri Maharaj or Sridhar Maharaj or Keshav Maharaj. He's causing a disturbance to society. That's Upat. He has discovered.
Huh?
Utpat, yes, he is. He's not following according to any. It's totally concocted. Okay, do any of you have any questions at all? Did everybody understand the class, basically? And you don't have to be afraid to ask questions just because I bark a lot. I know you might be afraid of me. I have a little bit of a reputation. What do you want?
Do you know that verse about the disciples out of the target?
I can only chant it when I'm passing stool. Tomorrow morning you come and... No, I don't know it. I just heard it from Achyutananda. One of my early Siksha gurus was Achyutananda. The early Achyutananda, what was his name? Chuck Barnett. Prabhupada Lilamata. He was a very brilliant person. He had a very quick mind, but he was poor in his sadhana. He was a jnani, but he couldn't fully embrace bhakti. Therefore, he fell down.